Last Sunday, immediately after church, Tyler Shepherd grabbed me and goes, "Okay, what's the deal about the chair?" I told a story and didn't tell the punchline. That's kind of bad. I was sharing that I'd gone to visit my mother-in-law, and we're having this big dinner, and we're going to watch football, and she asked me to go across the street to give communion to her neighbor who was a Lutheran, and she was dying. Well, I thought, she's a Lutheran. There's Lutheran preachers. And I didn't really want to go. I wanted to eat and watch football. But I went reluctantly, and I talked to Julie and had prayer with her. And about a week later, she died. And at her service, her husband told my mother-in-law that she accepted Jesus when I came and prayed with her. And I was shocked because I thought she was a Christian. And that chair, it just fit my wife. Her husband gave it to us. And so I was able to put the chair in our home, and it reminds me every time I walk by it about opportunities that God gives me and makes me wonder if I'm missing some opportunities that He gives to me every day. That's the rest of the story. In the little town of Campbellsville, Kentucky, about 3 months before Christmas, all kinds of RVs and retirees show up because it's an Amazon distribution center. If you know anything about Amazon, it's this huge company, and they, during a typical day in November, will sell 26.3 million items a day. That's 306 items per second. And on a good, on a Black Friday, the big day of giving, it's 500 items per second. And this year they expect that to be even bigger. Amazon's changed how the world does business and how they do Christmas. Now you can put your list on Amazon and people can go and look and find the price range they want to pay and what they want to buy you. So I'm thinking, boy, if my grandmother had had that, I wouldn't have gotten socks and shirts that were always two sizes too small. I was always little Steve to my grandmother. She never quite figured out I grew, you know, and so it would have changed everything. Could have gotten some really neat stuff. Amazon's a pretty amazing company, and they tend to have good prices and great service. And if you order through Amazon, you can recognize an organization like Monroe City First Church of God, and they will make a contribution toward that institution. So don't forget that. One of the amazing things that Amazon has done and what makes them unique as a company is their founder, Jeff Bezos, has said, "We're in this for the long haul. We're looking 10 years down the road. We don't really focus on what the profits are for this quarter. Our concern is what's going to happen 10 years from now." It's changed how they do business. And to be a great, successful business, you have to look the long look down the road. When you are in your 20s and 30s, you're not thinking about being 60 or 70. But if you want to have a retirement when you're 60 or 70, you have to take the long look when you're 20 or 30. I have a young man I was counseling a number of years ago. He was taking money out of his retirement account to buy guns. I said, "That's not going to comfort you when you don't have any retirement." He was not taking the long look. And it's hard to take the long look when you're in the immediate moment, right? Well, today's Christmas character that we're looking at in our series is a man who took the long look spiritually. His name was Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man who eagerly awaited the long-promised Messiah. He had a vision from the Holy Spirit who told him that he would not die before the Messiah came. He got that promise years ago. And now he's an old man. And I'm sure that there was a part of him that was wondering, was that really the Holy Spirit or was that just bad pizza? You know, did he really say that I would be alive when the Messiah came? I'm fairly certain he did not expect the Messiah to come as a baby in the middle of nowhere. He probably was expecting a full-grown mixture of a rabbi and Rambo. You know, a military king who was going to overthrow the Romans and set his people free. That was the expectation of Jewish scholars of that time. But God rarely comes the way we expect him to come, and he rarely comes when we expect him to come. I found that in my life, God shows up at the most unexpected times. And on this particular day, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple. It said he went because he felt the Holy Spirit told him to go. And it's the same day that Mary and Joseph had brought their new baby boy, named Jesus, to be dedicated as a firstborn son. And when Simeon saw Jesus, something stirred in his spirit, and he knew that this little baby, as unlikely as he was God's long-awaited promise of a Messiah. Simeon probably had tears in his eyes as he held this little baby and said these words, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." And then Simeon prophesied about this baby that he's holding in his arms. And his words tell us who he is and why he came and how we're supposed to respond to his coming. These are three simple gospel truths I want us to understand this morning. These truths tell us why Christmas has such special purpose and such special meaning to all of us. It's because God sent his chosen one, his only son, to enter into human history, to die on a cross, to be resurrected from the dead, so that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's the gospel of Christmas in a single sentence. I want us to pay attention to what Simeon prophesied. First, he said, because of Jesus, we know that everything can be all right. Because of Jesus, everything will be all right. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon is saying, this child's the hope of all humanity, not just for this moment, but for the long room, for the long route, the long vision, for generations yet to come, generations yet unborn. He's the light to the Gentiles. He's the glory of Israel. He's the hope of all the world. I meet a lot of people that I like to classify as Christian hand-wringers. You ever met any Christian hand-wringers? Oh my. Things are getting so bad. The world is getting so dark. They see the whole thing crashing down. And many times, it's us older folks. You know, we remember with nostalgia about the way things used to be and how wonderful it was. We forget that sin has always been here, and brokenness has always been here, and darkness has always been here, and evil has always been here. It's not just older folks that are pessimistic about life. I mean, young people say, we're not going to have children because we don't want to bring a child into this evil, broken world. So we believe that we're on this path to self-destruction, and we quote passages from the Bible to kind of bolster up our case. And the sentiment is not new. You can read historical books going back thousands of years, and everyone always believes it's the worst of times. You know, there was a war protest song written during the Vietnam War era called Eve of Destruction. Some of you are old enough to remember it. The first verse said this: the Eastern world is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. And you tell me over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. That song was written by a 19-year-old kid, P.F. Sloan, who later started the group, the Grassroots, that some of you from the 60s will remember. Sloan said he did not intend that to be a protest song of the war. It was actually, he was awakened in the middle of the night in 1964 and wrote it as a prayer. The Bible does predict some very dark days in human history. But it's not the end of the story. Martyrdom is not the end of the story. Oppression and opposition to faith is not the end of the story. Even when someone dies for their faith every few minutes somewhere in the world for their Christian faith, that's not the end of the story. Even though persecution is prevalent in our world, that's not the end of the story. Tribulation is not the end of the story. And you say, well, what is the end of the story? I'm so glad that you asked. Ultimate and complete victory through Jesus Christ for all God's people. Eternal peace and never-ending joy for all God's people. The Bible talks about the last days, and it uses imagery and symbolism that I'm not always certain that I know how to interpret, even though I've studied the Bible for most of my life. But there's something in the Word that requires no special interpretation or special education or special knowledge. These words spell out God's plan for my future and for your future. This is what it says. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. This, my dear friends, is God's ultimate plan for His people that He loves. It was set in motion over 2,000 years ago now in a little town called Bethlehem with the birth of a baby named Jesus. Jesus came for one reason, to redeem the world, to bring us back to God. Because of Jesus, we don't have to wring our hands and wonder and worry what happens if Iran gets a nuclear weapon. We don't have to get ulcers fearing what if this wonderful stock market crashes. We don't even have to worry about what if the harvest doesn't come next year. Even if we go through trials and suffering, even if the world creaks and groans in pain, even if evil seems to sometimes have the upper hand, rest assured in this promise. God controls the future, not the angel of darkness. And ultimately, He will direct our paths to ultimate victory and eternal joy. Aren't you glad? That's worth an amen. It's not pie in the sky. Heaven is real and God's promise is true. And because of that, you and I can have hope. But there's so much more to the story than gathering in heaven someday at the end of time or at the end of our own personal time here on earth. The Christian life is about living victoriously today. Even as the world is in turmoil, we can experience glimpses of His glory right here, right now. We don't have to wait for heaven to know victory and true peace and joy in Christ. Even now, we can know that all things work together for good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Or as Paul reminds us, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things. Even today we can say, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Do you know what the Christmas life is all about? It's about the promise that because of Jesus, everything will be all right. If you're ready for this kind of life, you can experience the overwhelming victory of Jesus that He promised to His people. Because of Jesus, your life can be full of light. Simeon called the baby a light to the Gentiles and glory and the glory of Israel. Light has an incredible ability to penetrate darkness. When I took one of my first missions trips to Honduras, we were staying in this little village that had no electricity. They used oil lamps, and when it was dark, it was dark. The stars were amazing, but you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And we got a generator, and we went to the medical clinic, which also served as our church, and we were going to show the Jesus film. And all the people went to bed about 6 or 7 o'clock because it was dark. And when we started up this generator and the lights came on, people came out of the woodwork. There were over 250 people in a church that would hold about 100. And there were another 300 outside the building. They all came to see the light. They were fascinated and attracted to the light. Jesus said, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." 1 John says, "God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all." Jesus came into the world to die on a cross for our sins. He came to pay a price that we could not pay for our salvation, so that we could live in heaven forever in His presence. But that's not all. He came to show us what God is really like. And He came to teach us how to know God and how to love God and how to follow God. He came to help us to learn to love ourselves and to learn to love and serve others and to make a difference in the world. He came to teach us how to live. And these are some of the teachings of what it looks like to live in the light. He taught us to forgive. If you want to know what darkness is like, refuse to forgive others, and it'll get dark. Jesus taught us how to give. If you want to know what living in darkness is like, be selfish with your resources and your money. Jesus taught us how to serve others. If you want to know what darkness looks like, live your life only to please yourself and only to take care of you. You will end up stumbling in the darkness. But if we walk in the light as He is light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. I can tell you, with years of experiencing, watching the highs of people and the lowest lows of people and the lowest brokenness of people, things just work better with Jesus. They do. Things work better with Jesus. When you walk with Jesus, you make better and wiser decisions. When you walk with Jesus, you have better relationships. I marvel at the giving and the kindness I see demonstrated by God's people on a daily basis. You saw some of that in that little video of people ringing bells today. When you walk with Jesus, you experience victory over sin. When you walk with Jesus, even when you fail, and we do fail, we're able to get back on our feet much quicker and faster. Because of Jesus, everything's going to be all right. And because of Jesus, we can have a life that's full of light. And because of Jesus, every one of us must make a choice. In Luke 2, it says, "Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that we be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed.' and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Because of Jesus, everything will be all right. Yes. Because of Jesus, your life can be full of light. Yes, that's true. For whom? For those who choose Jesus. Remember that quote in Revelation that I read a few minutes ago, that promise that all the tears we wipe from our eyes? That same book of Revelation tells us that there will be those who will spend eternity separated from that loving God. What's the determining factor? How good do you have to be? Well, it's your choice. You see, we get to choose where we spend eternity. Isn't that incredible? You get to choose that. How do you choose to live your life? It's up to you. Each person must decide what he or she will do with Jesus. Will you accept him or reject him? Will you believe him or dismiss his truth? Will you follow him or ignore his teaching? Everyone must choose how they as an individual, not as a family, not what mom did, not what dad did. You as an individual, what will you do with Jesus? Now I know there's some questions that always come with this. What about those people on the backside of the backside of the world that never heard Jesus? What about them? The short answer, I don't know exactly how it works, but I know that God has the situation covered. One thing we learn about God in the Bible is that He is just, He is fair, and He is merciful. I love what it says in Genesis, the question that Abraham asks, will not the judge of all the earth do what is right? He also said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. In Jeremiah 29:13. Everything I know about God is that everyone gets a fair chance to know Him and to follow Him. Everyone gets a choice. And that includes you. God's not playing hide and seek. He wants to be found. I'm over here. He's not hiding. So the question is, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? Jesus says, whoever is not with me is against me. But he also says in Mark, whoever is not against us is for us. You see, you have to choose, and you have to choose in two different ways. First, you make the big decision. Am I going to ask Jesus into my life? Am I going to ask for his forgiveness? Am I going to ask him to direct my life and guide my life and help me to walk with him? Many of you have already made that decision. You've already made that choice. But secondly, you have a daily decision that each of us make to live in the light, to follow and obey as he directs us. That you will move in God's direction. That's a choice that we must make daily in our lives. Paul says, I die daily. Each morning I must choose, am I going to follow God today? I'm going to listen to Jesus' voice, the Holy Spirit in my life today. Now I begin this sermon talking about Amazon. This company went public May 15th, 1997, and you could have bought a share for $18. If you'd bought 100 shares, that would have been $1,800. The company split three times over those next coming years. Today, Amazon is selling for $1,786.63 a share. If you bought 100 shares for $1,800, your initial investment would be worth $2,460,600. I don't tell you that to make you feel bad. I didn't buy it either. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here. This growth has been amazing, but it was not a steady rocket ride. Amazon's been all over the place. It's been up and down. People have sold it because it was going nowhere and bought a great company like Enron and went bankrupt, you know. Sometimes you go through storms in life, and if you weathered the storm, you'd be really happy with the investment that you made in 1997. Simeon would tell you the same thing. He went through years and years and years of waiting and waiting for a promise that the Holy Spirit had given him. And I guarantee you, when he finally got a glimpse of that baby, he would tell you, it was worth it. It was worth it. It's the same thing in our spiritual walk. It's not a sprint, folks. It's a marathon. We walk with Jesus, and it's a long-term investment. You're making deposits not for this moment, but for eternity. That's the walk that you and I are making. Because of Jesus, everything will be all right, even if it's Alzheimer's or cancer or tragedy. It will be all right. We've been promised the glory of heaven. No tears, no pain, no sorrow, no death, but everlasting joy and peace. And every once in a while we're still here, we get a glimpse of that, of God's power to transform a life from a drug addict to a follower of Jesus, to change a heart from selfish and conceited to giving and sharing and humble. We get to see God take brokenness and restore it, to change the pattern of a family and change it directly and amazingly in a new direction. None of this, as amazing as it is to watch, compares with what lies ahead. Because of Jesus, your life can be full of light. You can know God personally. You can walk with Him every day. You don't have to stumble around in sin and darkness and uncertainty and fear. He brings His light and His truth to you. And because of Jesus, we must make a choice of what we'll do with this one and only life that God has given us. This baby Jesus is a dividing line of light and darkness. He's a dividing line of joy and misery. He's the line between heaven and hell. That's why this child is inescapable. Everyone must decide what they're going to do with Jesus. It's my prayer today that you'll look at this little child and say, I choose Jesus to be my salvation, my light, my future, and my hope. Monday morning, I received word that Jimmy Usher had died. Jimmy was an amazing man. He had this incredible sense of humor and this crazy laugh. He'd go, heh, heh, heh. I'd make fun of him all the time. I went over 20 missions trips to Honduras with Jimmy Usher. He never really learned Spanish. It was crazy. He went there, he'd go there 8-9 times a year. And his Spanish was awful. Jimmy and I spoke Spanglish. If you didn't know the word, you just put an O on the end of it. When's dinner-o, you know? What time-o do we go-o, you know? And that was our Spanish. But even though Jimmy was perhaps the worst Spanish speaker I've ever heard, I might be second, he gave his life away to the poorest of the poor. And he spoke a language of love that every one of them understood. And when I learned of him finishing the journey, my first thought was, man, I lost a great friend. My second thought was, thousands are in heaven today because of his faithful witness. He invested for the long term. He invested his life for eternity. Like Simeon, Jimmy would tell you this morning, oh yeah, it was worth it. So, how are you living your life? For this moment or for the eternity that's yet to be? Let's pray. Father, we come here this morning so thankful for people like Simeon and people like Jimmy Usher, people who have taken the long look and said, you know, I'm going to live my life for something that's worth everything. I'm not going to be stopped by the immediate problem or the immediate joy. I'm going to focus on the big plan, why Jesus came, to redeem us, to restore us, to show us how to live our life. And I choose Jesus every time. I choose Jesus. Because it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand this morning as we sing? If you've never chosen Jesus, I would invite you to do that this morning. If you have chosen Jesus and you just need some encouragement for the journey and you want to realize again today, I want to say again, I'm going to follow Him until it's over, till the race is run and the battle's won. You'll know His joy. It's available to all of us today. Choose Him in His name. I hope you keep on choosing Jesus over and over and over again. Go in His name. Amen.